And welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Between Two Wheels podcast. This is Tyler Yonke with Chris Flower. We're going to talk some old man national championships, talk about the transfer market, some horrible crashes that are happening out there, some things that make you go, Tour Utah, Colorado Classic, some winners and losers. Who's ready for this? You ready for this?
Not really, but we can try.
Not either. Welcome, everybody. Episode 141. We took a little break. Look, bike racing is a little tiresome. Following it, it can be even more tiresome.
Yes, there's a lot of races.
There's a lot of races. And almost, I saw someone post online, Killian Kelly. I think he's joining up with GCN. He's kind of a historian out there. The point is, he was like, I don't know if there's this time right now in cycling where there's just too many races going on right now, and we're trying to follow them all. And Chris is over here trying to do some
magic
on your stand. Okay, so first of all, let's just talk a little. We're going to talk some NCNCA stuff. Trying to get back into that. How is your cycling going? Because we have a race coming up this weekend.
Do we? Is that official? Well, there is a race.
There's
coming
a race
up.
Coming up, and that was questionable. So we'll talk about right. that winners race, winners road race.
Yes.
But how's your bike racing been going, and your riding in general? You like to do a lot of group rides.
My bike racing in general has been absent. I don't think I've raced since Nevada City in June.
Yeah.
So it's been a while since I've. Well, actually, that's not true. I did an unsanctioned race last weekend, but it was. Kind of a race, not really a race, but a race.
What was that? Was that another one of your triathlons?
No, that was the Boca Road race.
Oh, okay.
Up in Truckee with Kurt. So did that race, but outside of that for NCNCA USAC stuff, I haven't raced since Nevada City. I've just been doing a lot of group rides, kind of race ride type stuff, and that's really just been where I've been getting my fill of riding time.
Well, let's talk, and Kurt, we miss you again. He's the ghost member of our team. You know, we're supposed to be like the Scooby Squad or the Mystery Machine. What's the Scooby-Doo, right?
And that's the show.
And I don't know. I don't know. Are you Fred? Maybe is he Wilma?
I think he's Scooby himself.
He is Scooby. All right.
Maybe he's Scrappy-Doo. Give him that title.
Okay. That's, I like that. But we're missing him. But he convinced you to go up there and do Boca. Why don't you talk about that a little bit? For those that don't know, that's it's not in Boca Raton, Florida.
It's not, unfortunately.
It's in Nevada or California.
So Reno Wheelman puts on a series of races throughout the year that I think some are part of USAC, some are not part of USAC. So they've got time trials, they've got a road race, and they've got a crit. And I think they actually put on a couple of collegiate races as well, or maybe they helped put them on. So the one that Kurt had tagged was part of the Twilight Fall Omnium. So they do a time trial down in Nevada, they do a road race up outside of Truckee, and then a criterium down near the Reno airport. So we jumped into the road race. So the Boca road race is just east of Truckee. And it's a pretty cool course. It's a short course. It's, I want to say, about 24 miles. Some really good punchy climbs, and really good pavement. It was a really fun course. I got my teeth kicked in coming up from 100 feet elevation up to about 5,000 feet elevation. It was noticeably challenging, but it was a really cool course, really good racing action. I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Well, how'd you do?
So I actually looked at the results yesterday, not as well as I thought. I thought I was like seventh. I came in ninth.
Sorry to hear that.
Them's the breaks.
Some of those Trade and Road guys are up there, right?
Yeah, quite a few more. I ended up working with Pete Morris. We'd both gotten dropped on the real main climb. It's called the Wall, and it's like a 2.5-3 minute, just 10%, just torture fest. So came off on that, worked with Pete Morris and Josh Rennie, and we just got the group to within 10 seconds in the final miles, but just couldn't close that final gap, unfortunately. So do what you do.
Right, it happens. Okay, well, you know, look, good for you. Those that are interested, check it out. Are they done with that series
now? They are
now?
done for the year. I think there's a criterium left next week, but the road races are all done. So,
okay. Well, long story short, until next year then.
My racing has been at best.
Okay, well, we're going to do winners. So winners out there in Winters, California. It's on the way between Sacramento, Davis area to the Bay Area. It's kind of out there, a little bit of a foothill.
Yeah.
And the Tour of California came through there this year, or they almost went out to it, right? They went to Winters right. on the first stage. So, hey, we're not doing the same road. But it's a 20-some mile loop with about a 10-minute climb in the middle of it. Otherwise, it's pretty flat and rolly.
Yep.
They've changed the start finish. It used to be closer to where you staged. Now it's back a little bit, and it has just a little bit of uphill finish. Not nothing significant. Still, it deadens the sprinters a little bit. As you know, last year you cramped up pretty heavily on it.
I did. I think I cramped up before the uphill part of it. But yeah, it's I would say it's generally flat, with the exception of Canelo. So
right. So Canelo, it starts out pretty medium, has a little bit of a steeper part, and then it flattens out, kind of drifts down, and then it ends with, you know, 3 minute or so of super steep climbing. And then you go over the top, nice steep descent, twisty, could be a little bit difficult into the finish. So that's what we've got going on. Good luck to everyone. It was canceled. They said due to road conditions or whatever, it was canceled.
Yeah.
Then it's back on. So that may have disturbed some people. You were telling me that you could, well, online reg, this is Thursday. It closed yesterday, Wednesday, but I think you're actually saving money if you do day of.
Yeah, because you're not going to pay the bike ride fee.
Right. So. Okay, so let's talk about a few other things with the NCNCA, which was, well, let's talk about Old Man National Championships out in Colorado Springs. But as always, our guys fare quite well out there.
Now, by our guys, you don't mean our guys. You mean NCNCA guys. Our guys fared well by just not racing.
I didn't get dropped.
That's true.
I'll just say that. No, our NCNCA guys, hey, we're representing you with this podcast as
That's
well.
True.
So
okay.
not just me and my teammates, but all those that we race with, we know on a daily basis. So you want to start out with, I don't know if you want to call out just the NCNCA guys, but they do the time trial. You know, we talked about it, the race in general, and it was just an out and back.
Yeah. So it was an out and back, but there was a little bit of climbing on the way out. So I looked at a couple of the Strava posts by guys that had done it, and it wasn't totally flat. Like, you could see a lot of spikes in power, a lot of spikes in speed, some guys hitting high 40s. So it was a little bit of climbing going out, and then obviously a little bit of descending to flat coming back in. So everybody said it was a tough course, true course. So it wasn't anything that favored one person over the other.
No, and you saw that with the time trial guys getting good, you know, getting their results.
Yeah.
You want to go through some of the categories and then just highlight some people that we see and start out with that? Or did you have a method in mind for this?
I did not have a method in mind. I was just going to look at, you know, for the time trial, guys in particular within the NCNCA
that
fared well. So we know that there's a couple returning former national champions that were headed out there. So I know Dan Bryant has won the national TT championship a right. handful of times, as well as the world TT championship. Right. So he was also going into a new age bracket this year. I think when Kurt was in here with us last, we kind of did a little preview of Masters Nationals. And I know Bryant was going into a category with another Daniel, I think Daniel Casper.
Yeah. Kurt
and he was not here.
No, he hasn't been here in months.
I thought he was in spirit. They finished really close to each other at last year's Nationals. So Dan Bryant ended up winning this year's Nationals with I think the fastest time on the day overall. I think he won by over a minute.
Well, I'm looking at it here. So he was 49:36:51. Daniel Casper was second at 50:44. Yeah, so over a minute to him.
Yeah.
That guy rides for Donkey Label. That's okay.
I think they make race
donkey labels.
Yeah. So Dan Bryant gets another national championship.
So you're saying he was fastest on the day of, like, if you just aggregate everybody, all the TT?
I believe so, because there was another guy.
He's in the 50 to 54 group.
Yeah, so if you look at 35 to 39, Jacobs, I forget his last name, he did really well.
Jaeger, 48:37. So, yeah, would we say 48? What was Dan? 48:37, and Dan Bryant was 49:36. So actually, he was not the fastest.
Well, he was fast.
He was, well, yeah. I mean, come on. That's still pretty good. Well, it's, yeah. And in the 35s, I think the best we had there, we being NCNCA, was Zach Morvant and then Ariel, 7 and 8.
Well, Rob Schell, I think he got fifth, so he was on the podium.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dolce Vita. Yeah.
He's a good TTR, obviously.
So, I mean, sorry, keep going.
Also in the NCNCA that did well. It looks like we've got, I'm going to totally butcher the name, Joseph Lemire.
Okay.
He's in the 70 to 74 age group, and he won the time trial.
Okay. How many were in that group?
I do not know.
I'm looking at it right now. Actually, 18. So
okay. Good turnout.
Yeah.
Now, were they doing, if you're looking at the times, he may have done the 20K course?
I don't know. I hope so, because doing a 27, cutting that time in half off of Dan Bryan.
Right.
It's smoking.
Maybe he's motor pacing.
Right.
So I think those were the two winners. Actually, no, that's not true. In the women's side, in the women's 45 to 49, Molly Van Howling, she won the time trial there as well. And I believe she just set the hour record for her age group this week down in Aguascalientes, down on the track there.
Okay.
So
what track event is that?
That is the hour record.
Oh, just doing the hour record.
Yes.
And which group was she at? 45, 49?
Yes.
That right?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Revolution Racing PB Jack Rue.
Yeah. So then those are the winners. We had three time trial winners for the NCNCA, which is pretty darn good.
Right.
And then podiums would be Rob Schell, as we mentioned. Chris Phipps in the 50 to 54. I think that might be his first 50 to 54 participation.
I think so.
Kevin Metcalf, 55 to 59. I think he's won before. He ended up third place, which is darn good. In the women's 35 to 39, Shannon Gaffney. Looks like she's racing for the U.S. military team. And then in the women's 40 to 44, Katie Giles took second place in the time trial. So
that name might be familiar if you know her husband, Scott.
Yes.
Who also races quite well.
I think he's a former winner himself.
National champion, yeah.
Yeah, so the time trial, not too shabby. Bring home a few wins and then a handful of podiums. So well done.
Yeah, really good.
So I think we talked a little bit about the road race course when we did a little preview on this. You kind of are familiar with the results. Right. Did it play out as you would have expected, knowing the course and seeing who did what?
Yeah. So for the most part, you saw strong guys winning, mm-hmm. and then you saw or climbers.
Okay.
Or strong climbers. As an example, my former teammate, Michael Carter, won, I'm trying to remember the category, 55 or 60 group, but he rode the 92 Tour de France, mm-hmm. Winning all these hill climbs, New Hampshire, Colorado, Mike Evans hill climb. Guy is like all of 120 pounds, super good climber, strong rider, and he wins. And Jonathan Baker, he wins.
Right.
Ariel Herman, a good climber, can hang in there. Up to a few years ago, still doing all the P12 races. He wins. Well, sorry to give some spoiler alerts here. And we'll go through those. But yes, exactly. I mean, you didn't see any guys. There was one group there where Monster Media rider ended up winning. I think he has a little bit more of a kick, but he kind of super strong, former pro, and hung in with the leaders and then was able to beat him in a sprint. Trying to remember who that was, but I think he had ridden for... we'll get to that. But why don't you give a breakdown of what you saw results wise.
Yeah, so it was tried to follow as best as I could when I could. I think One to Go, they do kind of a live stream to the best extent they can. They just kind of give updates as the guys come around lap by lap by lap. So it was kind of cool seeing some of the breaks form and whatnot. But much like the time trial, the NCNCA riders had a few wins in there. You mentioned Ariel Herman. He won the 35 to 39 road race. He's with Thirsty Bear. I think he won from a reduced field. No, not a reduced field. He won from a break of four, which is a pretty darn solid result. And then you had Jonathan Baker. He won the, 45 to 49 road race.
Yeah.
I think looking at the results for that, he won solo. So he had bridged up late to a group, and then I guess he just went right through them to go ahead and win solo. Pretty impressive. He's with Touchstone Racing still, I believe. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then also in the road race, Katie Giles, Rock Solid cycling. She won the women's 40 to 44 race. So pretty good.
Yeah, really good. So it was Michael Olheiser, and he had rid for competitive cyclist lupus. So that's who I was thinking of. That was in the 40 to 44 with Todd Markles, local guy, Team Mike's Bikes, getting second there as well.
Yeah, other guys that are the racers that finished on the podium in the road race. You had Molly, who won the time trial. She was second in the road race. Tanya Fredericks for Thirsty Bear. She took fourth in the women's 50 to 54. Joseph Lemire from Thirsty Bear, who won the time trial, took second. Metcalf for Pete's took fourth in his race. Dan Bryant took third in his. So more solid results, good podiums. So good stuff.
Yeah, really good. So I just saw one other one here. This is just an interesting story. Matthew Cook, fourth in the 40 to 44 Boulder. Might not mean anything to anybody except for back in the, he was a former pro, mm-hmm. and I think he rode for Jameis team a few years ago. As they're leaving Boulder, he's in the Tour or Colorado Classic, whatever it was, USA Cycling Classic that they had at the time. They're going Boulder to, I want to say, Golden, and he has a nasty wreck and pretty much just ended his career. I mean, I think he had some head injuries and stuff. So my point is, he's back racing as an amateur, but getting fourth. So it's good to see someone from, you know, having some issues and just quit cycling like that. I think he was really super, super critical online about doping.
Oh, really?
Like, I don't want to say over the top. That seems a bit much, but he was really a troll on Twitter about that. I could be getting him mixed up with someone else. I think I'm right, though. But anyway, interesting story. Any things with the road race that you heard? Or, oh, wasn't it Travis Lee we heard about that had some issues?
Right. Yeah, so he was in the 35 to 39 race, and I heard from Kurt that he had found his way into the lead group and had some, I wouldn't call it mechanical issues, I guess electrical issues with his group set just basically stopped shifting, which it sounds like on a course like that is kind of going to end your day.
Right.
You're not going to be able to sneak through with minimal gears. You need your whole system working well. So definitely a bummer for him to travel all that way, get into that lead group, and then have something like that derail his race.
Right, which, you know, there would have been two teammates up there, and obviously you're in that group. I don't know what point, but probably riding well to, I mean, he's a good climber guy, so.
Right.
Bummer to hear that. Sorry, Travis. Any other ones for?
That's, you know, I.
You want to do the crit?
We can do the crit. I know the crit, I heard the course is obviously difficult. I heard that there was a lot of weather changes. There was expectations for rain. Rain held off, but I guess the wind was out in full effect and changing direction every few minutes, so it made for a tough race is what I heard. But in spite of that, still had some really good results from NorCal racers. Looking at the results here, Joseph Lemire gets another win in the 70-74. So he won the road race. I'm sorry, he won the time trial. Second in the road race, wins the crit. That's a pretty gosh
probably
darn,
wins the Omnium at that point.
I would assume he probably won the best rider for that age group. Larry Nolan won the men's 60 to 64 race. There's a video.
Bagley?
Not Bagley, because he's in different age group. Yeah, there's another video floating around for that age group, and it was intense. Like, the last couple laps were really physical. So it's a good result in that field, and it looked like he had won by quite a bit. Well, he and the second place rider looked like they were really close, but they had a good gap to third and behind. So,
remember a race where you were in him and you guys dropped him, and then I'm just
and then
still bitter about Golden State.
Yeah.
No, look, and Larry, and it, what's interesting is when you see the videos. I mean, I was talking about this with Linder. I'm like, when I watch them, and even if it's a video, I'm done, and like it's like more intense watching it to me than like being in the moment, because you're just there and things are happening and sway. But when you're watching this thing, it seems more dramatic to me, like the all the little actions and like the cutting in the corners, and like, ah, you know, it seems more dynamic. But you know, Larry Nolan's no slouch when it comes to like physical and getting bumping around in there. So
no, and I think that's like his 100th national title if you account for road and track and everything. So he knows how to race.
And we interviewed him a few years ago up at Chico.
Yeah.
And I asked him if he'd ever won a national championship. Kurt was embarrassed. My point was he had stripes on his neck. So I was like, hey, where'd you get the, is that just something you put on there?
And then
we saw that in a picture.
Right.
Anyway, go ahead.
And then also in the crit, Sam Benedict won the men's 35 to 39, yeah. And he won from, I think it was a group of four or five guys off the front. So he won, and then Chris Coble got second. And I'm not sure who got the remaining places, but that's
what was interesting about results. That one. It looked like Ariel Herman was in the break with them
because
right. There's a small time gap from him. I'll get the results here. It just crapped out of me.
Oh boy.
Anyway, so there was a little gap between Ariel. It looks like was in that break, but then just came off on the sprint, and then Rashaan Bahati was in that group upgraded to. Nationals now, Masters, and he won the field sprint, it looked like. So unless Ariel took a flyer or out-sprinted Bahati to the point where he
had time gap.
Took a little time gap on him. I'm making assumptions looking at the time splits there.
I'm guessing that he probably was in the break and then kind of came off that in the last lap or two.
Yeah, but I think, didn't Ariel? Okay, so second was Colwell, Giancarlo Bianchi, Florida guy, a guy from Texas, and fourth, and then Owen Schott, another Florida guy, for fifth, and then Ariel sixth, Rashaan Bahati seventh. So good one for him. Didn't we see that Ariel had the bar or the bat? What is it? Best?
So he'd be bar.
Bar.
Yeah, men's rider, 35 rider, to 39 yeah. bar. Because I think he did obviously well enough in the time trial to accrue some points, and then wins the road race.
I think he said it was seventh or eighth.
Yeah, so that's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hard to be upset about that.
No.
Other good finishes in the crit would be... it's like Shannon Castle from Old School Industries, fifth place, women's 40-44. Jennifer Hartwig from Squadra, third place in the 45-49. Other podiums, we've got Beverly Cheney from San Jose Bike Club, 55-59. Michael Charlton from Red Peloton took second. He's difficult to race against.
Yeah.
He's good. Chris Ott from Pete's, fourth, 50-54. Scott Giles, second, 45-49. And we already mentioned Chris Coble. So, a lot of guys that you expect to do well did well. A lot of really good finishes, a lot of podiums.
So Giles got in a break with David Kossel.
Kessel? Super Dave. Super Dave.
Super Dave.
It's an interesting dynamic because you've got Dave who, if you look at his physique, the dude's a sprinter.
Yeah.
I mean, his legs are probably twice as big as Scott's. So it doesn't surprise me that he would out-sprint Scott in the end, but it looks like they got a huge gap. So they had a pretty big gap over the field.
And Giles, remember when we were out at Chico and he gets in the break with that other motor that just, the guy was just a motor.
From Oregon.
Yeah, motor without much motor I mean, do I say the brain's not there? No, he really was a smart, he was super new to cycling. I'll say that.
Yeah.
So he and Scott get up the road and they just motor away. And that's what Scott does. You know, when he won his national championship in the road race, a few years ago, I want to say 14 or so out in Utah, he got in a break and then just stuck the climb. And yeah, dude's strong. So congrats for him.
Yeah.
Good job breaking all those down because good stuff out there. You know, we had Thirsty Bear. We had Pete's. Who else was out there from us?
Touchstone.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
Yeah. Olympic Club.
They all, and everyone's getting results there. I mean,
yeah.
Coble got it for Olympic Club. Obviously, Touchstone with Baker and Pete's got some wins and Thirsty Bear. So
yeah,
good for all of them. And, you know, we talked about field size, and I was a little shocked to see that you have a race out in the hot. I mean, Colorado Springs, just what, 2 hours south of Boulder, Denver area, and you'd think you'd just get an influx there. But I was a little shocked to see that there wasn't a lot more. Maybe they're cycling is kind of like ours where it's just not
I don't know. Yeah,
I mean, you know, 35s on some of those fields weren't very big as far as like the TT,
right?
Okay, I get TTs, but even then I don't know. What about next year? Is that your goal next year?
No.
Sweet. I know John Novikov said it is, so.
I don't know where it's the challenge with that is how far out do you plan, because at this point it's not on the calendar. We don't know where it is. Is it going to be in Florida? Is it going to be in Utah? Is it? I don't know.
Well, I think it's going to be there again. And they usually do like a 2 times.
Oh, do they?
And then they've been moving it on.
Okay. I'd have to move there for a year to acclimate to the elevation.
Right. Now, we had talked, you know, I'd like to actually chat with Zach Morvant. Maybe we'll see him this weekend, you know, about how it went. Because, you know, it looked like to us, this dude was bearing down, not hyperbaric chamber, but I mean, kind of the equivalent. He was training at altitude, going and super strong.
Right.
Didn't quite have the results. So I'd be curious to see what happened. And Jonathan Baker, it looks like he just ensconced himself out in Colorado and said, this is do it. So All right. So good luck to all those guys, and we'll see what happens coming up. So let's finish off some NCNCA. We had Dunnigan. So Dunnigan happened while the Nationals was taking place. And looked like to me it was kind of a full of crashes and life flights and some other results. Anything you heard from that? We'll go through some things that I could just remember off the top of my head.
Please do.
Jeremy Barnes, Sierra Nevada. Sierra Nevada.
Yes.
He won. And I was talking to him last night, and he said that the last lap, it's on the feed zone. He's like, I wasn't trying to attack. I just took a drink, looked around, and I kind of have a gap, and I just keep pedaling, and all of a sudden I'm like, might as well stick it. And so that's, you know, the feed zone is on that back section, just kind of twisty, and then he has the whole, so he's like 20 mile, and he's like, then I just stuck it. I went really hard on the windy section, kind of got out of sight, and then just held it. And real impressive. I mean, that's a flat race. That's not a bet. He said, I'm not going to win a sprint. And so, but man, you can probably see him, even if he's got like a 20-minute lead on you, on that dead straightaway.
Yeah, way the frontage road that goes along, what is that, 5?
Yeah.
No, that's, ooh, that's a tough place to be alone and just
totally
put in work.
Yeah, so some Jeff Dale got broken collarbone or something like that. He talked to me about it. I don't know if you heard anybody else. Someone else got life flighted out, broke the lungs and stuff, other things happening.
I know a local rider, also Sierra Nevada, Ken Todd. You talked with him a couple of years ago. He, I think, broke a couple ribs.
Oh, geez.
So, yeah, a lot of guys went down. It sounds like there was an issue with fields kind of overtaking each other but not doing it cleanly, and that kind of leading to changes in speed and bad things. So
do you have any results from there?
I do. What do you want to know?
Just name off some winners from different categories.
Pro 1-2 men's, Mike's Bikes, Cooper Shanks with the win. Also rounding out the podium, Chaz Thurman from SP2 and Roman Kloon from Mike's Bikes. I think they were in a break like 5 or 6 guys, so good results there.
Yeah.
Let's see, who else do we got here? You'd mentioned Jeremy Barnes taking the win in the 35s. Andrew Conley, second place. Alexander Yermolovich, third place. Trainer Rhodes, Nate Pearson, fourth place. What else we got? Men's 45, Craig Upton racing for Team Me, winning.
Team Me.
Phil Malaspina from Cortex, second. Sean Smith for R4R. So they seem to have some good results there sneaking in. The Race for Research guys, well done. What else you got on there in results?
Well, I was going to go to the Sassoon Crit that was the next day, unless you had some more that needed to be.
Women's P1-2, Battle of the Eleanors. Eleanor Wiseman taking the win over Eleanor Velez.
Oh, Ellie, come on.
Which one?
Velez. We're friends with her, so I don't know. Good job to the other one, Ellie.
Yeah.
If you're an Ellie, you had it in the bag.
How'd Sassoon look?
So Sassoon, have you done that crit?
I have.
Okay.
Yeah. Short crit.
Right, and fast. To me, there wasn't a lot of entries going out here, but you had some, like, just the P1-2s. Chat Leong wins that over Josh Carling, so Teams Mike's Bikes over SP2 Life.
Again,
and then Tarun gets third and fourth with Linder and Gotsman. Andrew Gosling, Gavin Murray. I mean, so you're Roman Kloon out there. I mean, so you're stacked for what you do have. So, you know, for me, it's not a big field. 20 people finish. You know, maybe 25-30 started, but you know, the top, if you win, I mean, those boxes look impressive when you get those people on them. So
yeah, small field but strong field. And I think Jeff Linder did a video with Roman for this race.
Right. Cat Threes, Andrew Mathiasen, Garrett Smith, that's the guy we've been riding with. He got second out there, and then Zach Rawson, Andy Garzoli, 2, 3, and 4. So Garrett Smith are just throw it a little bit. I mean, the guy's pretty strong. He does some rides out with us and adds on, you know, 20, 30 miles extra. So
that's
maybe we'll
result.
See some more things from him. I don't even know how old he is. The Masters 35, Josh Wood, David Allen, Nate Pearson, Greg White, Nabil Simon, top 5 there.
Nice.
45s. Yutch Cowhey, I saw he won. David Allen, Cognition in second. Sean Smith, R4R. Andre Tenthro for Sack Golden Wheelman and Robert Sperling with Nabil.
So David Allen got second place in the 35s and the 45s.
Right.
Well done.
Right. And then the women's P1-2-3, Juliet Hyde, Marissa Axel, and Madine Freschetti. I don't see any Ellies in that race.
They were celebrating their Dunnigan results.
Right. And then these Masters 55 to 99. I don't know. They're just making. What if you're 100? You just don't get a race? Only four entries. So those guys all got to stand on the box, I presume. Or maybe just the one didn't.
If they finished.
Andre Tintero, Robert Pasco, on Andrew Nevin. I don't know if they placed them with another field, but Robert Pasco is no. He's strong. So
yeah, I think it was a race together, pick separate thing.
Okay, that might have been.
I assume. Yeah,
yeah, that would. I would hope so. Did you hear anything about that one?
Not really. No, it was like I said, small fields. I think going up against Masters Nationals obviously hurt the 35s, 45s, 55s fields. But
99.
Everybody up to 99. It's a fun course. It's a short course. I want to say it's like maybe a kilometer in length.
It's got a kind of little squeeze in on the end, right? Or on the backside.
After like turn two, yeah. But it gets a lot of wind, but it's just a fun, fast course. Hopefully it gets some more folks out there next year because it's a good race.
Yeah, maybe we'll start showing up to races.
So Winters. Winters on Saturday?
Winters on Saturday.
That's the plan.
Any predictions there? They cut one category out, which was like a catch-all. They added it a few years ago because there were so many racers.
Right.
So they threw in this 30, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Right.
I think like the first year Grundman won it.
I think the second year as well.
Yeah. And then we did it last year with our team, so we can throw. It was a 30, not 35.
Correct.
So we threw in Stefan, and it had a real good race.
Yeah.
And we got second, third.
Fourth.
Second, third, fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's obviously they don't need that field anymore because I think combined the 45 and 35 fields are maybe 30 people at this
point.
Yeah,
it doesn't look like it's a big deal. And you know, that's a good race. So I'm doing it. I'm like 10 pounds overweight, maybe a little more. But
the P12
my fitness feels okay. So
the P12 field is stacked.
Yeah. That's,
I mean, you got, I think Jonathan Baker's doing it, even though he's 45 plus.
I almost wanted to just watch it.
You could probably still do that if we get dropped.
I think I might just watch it. You're right.
Right.
I was from the top of the class.
So you got a lot of guys who just won nationals in their masters groups that are doing the P12 race because Ariel's doing it as well.
That's
so
why.
They can't wear their stars and stripes.
They probably don't have it designed.
I'm sure they do. Those two teams, sure they do. They probably have them from previous years.
Well, remember what Zimny did last year? He just borrowed one from another teammate. He's
right.
Like, hey, let me wear it. And they're like, sure. How many do you want?
Yeah. Well, I think Baker's the reigning hill climb national champion, so he's got one somewhere.
He's already tucked that in there. So that will be pretty good. So the 45s look like a stacked race as well. And people that don't know that race, I mean, I think it combines, if you're a sprinter who can get up a hill, it'll work for you. If you're like a roller climber guy, you can, I mean, it's just interesting because the climb is climby, but yet it's punchy. So I've got over it fairly well. You've got over it fairly well the last few years. And then being able to sprint well, but you know, brakes go away there too. And you got to be worried about that. So
yeah, you got over it with one gear in the back.
In the front.
Okay.
No, you're right. In the back.
Yeah.
That's right. So a few years ago we came around three laps and on the bell lap, I think Jeremy Cuddell or someone hit me in the back, you know, it was a crash type of thing. I didn't go down and it ripped my DI2 wire out of my rear and I was just stuck in my 14, I think.
Okay.
And I made it over the climb, got third. I'd say that to Kurt. I'm more proud of that than Boise, and I didn't do it.
Wow.
I got a good result at Boise. I always got to bring Boise into it.
So at the Boca Road Race, we're talking to Mike's bike racer Rob Amatelli.
Yeah,
and he mentioned that Winters is for sprinters. So
well, sprinters do well there.
Yeah.
I mean, Willie and some of these other guys, but they've got to be in good position to get over it. So
right. So if it's a course where you're like, I can't race it, it's got a hill. It's like, you can probably get over.
You got those guys that will that definitely can't climb. It's gonna weed them out.
Right.
So I think it's what's good for a sprinter, Willie, as an example, who can get up and over a climb like that. All you're doing is weeding out those other sprinters that you'd have to contend with that are just pure power sprinters.
Right.
And you know, a little bulkier maybe. So it gives you a better chance. How else are you gonna? Well, I think you can have breakaway guys there too. So
yeah.
All right.
And then on Sunday is the Coppertown Circuit Race.
Really? That's back?
So it's back this year. It's slightly different. So it's the same kind of hot doggy shaped course. but it doesn't go through the little town square.
Okay.
So I'm guessing it's probably a pain in the butt to close off that town square. So that's back this year, and they're putting it on in place of the Vacaville Crit.
Oh, wow. So
get on.
I wish I knew that. I might have done that. Maybe I can still do that instead of winners, but
there you go.
I like that race. It was pretty decent.
It's not bad.
I like going through the little town, though, because it was just enough of a change in pace that, you know, moving up, or it just caused enough chaos right there to.
Right. So, but that's on. So that's an right. option.
Good to know. Transfer market. Let's go to the World Tour. You know, we went over last week. We had some of these rumors, and I think they're all confirmed. Roman Dennis, we still know what's happening with him, right?
Is he kicked off his team yet or no?
I heard something where someone was reaching out to the team, or he had passed on some emails, and he's like, Rowan, can you do this race? And they're like real tentative, like don't want to, like, what does this guy got? What kind of Epstein photos does this guy have of his team managers? I don't know. Any other updates you want to do that you've heard in the last few weeks?
So this morning, Degen Kolb indicated he's going to Lotto Soudal from Trek Segafredo. Earlier in the week, Philippe Gilbert indicated he's going to Lotto Soudal from DeQuinnick Quickstep. So they're building up quite a hefty classics team there, because I think they lost T. Spinoot somewhere.
Right.
Also of note, Tom Dumoulin officially told Sunweb to kick rocks and his sign with whatever they are, Jumbo Visma now.
Yeah.
So they're going to be a powerhouse team. So that's looking good for stage races for them. And then I guess not a transfer, but I guess it's kind of an update. Huffman has retired officially after Utah. So he will be leaving Rally. And I think, as we noted last week, Brandon McNulty is leaving Rally to go to UAE. So there's a couple open spots on that team for up and coming riders, I think.
Right. And with that in mind, Action Hagens Berman is moving back down to just Conti level.
Right.
So which is probably a good thing for them. I think they really wanted to get into Tour California this year. So they did that. Maybe it's just the money, or for whatever reason, it's a difficulty. So they're moving back down. It's probably not a bad thing for them. But
I think that I read a brief article about it, and I think they'd said that one of the challenges that to be a pro Conti level team, you also have to expand your roster size now, which becomes a financial constraint for them.
Right. Well, there's higher minimums. There's bank guarantees.
Right.
I think it's 50,000 minimum or something, and then not bank guarantee, but rider salary.
Yeah.
Then you've got, you got to expand your team. You know, anyway, there's just a lot more problems.
It looks like you noted on here, Zacharine going to CCC from Katusha.
Right. And evidently he was taking some sponsors with him. Adding them to it. And then, you know, we'd talked about that one, kind of expected that one to happen.
Yeah.
A little tragedy in the world. Bjorg Lembrek, 22-year-old Belgian rider, crashed into a concrete culvert of stage 3 of the Tour of Poland. Horrible to hear. Texting about that he's in serious condition, and then, you know, you heard he went to the hospital and passed away. Pretty horrific. And then, you know, then the idea is, what do you do with the rest of the stage race?
Right.
I mean, only this sport, right? You continue on after I know there's more stages, but you can't stop that stage when that happens, because it's probably, you know, you don't really know what's going on and the riders go on da da da. But it is interesting that you continue the race. And I don't know how I feel about it either way, but other sports, I don't know that you'd necessarily have some. I don't know. Would you? I guess I don't know how to even compare it to other sports.
Right. I don't think you can. I think Kurt brought up a good point. It'd be like somebody dying on the basketball court, and do you keep playing, or is it just? I mean, it would be such a shocking thing in another sport that you would just probably stop it. But I think they, like you said, they've got to keep doing the current stage because they don't know what's going on. The next day, they just let his team, he was Lotto Soudal, so they let Lotto Soudal kind of determine whether or not the race would go on and whether they would even race. And they just kind of neutralized everything and then let Lotto Soudal go through, I think, the finish line together. And then I think everybody collectively decided to kind of like, well, let's race on in his honor. So
right. And, you know, we've seen that with Castrotelli in the Tour de France when he hit that thing, and then the team the next day it just kind of do a processional.
Right.
That's tough. Well, you know, the rider last year in the, well, a year ago, so it's been over a year, the 2018 Paris-Roubaix, right? Mm. Died of the heart issue.
Right.
Wout, it's a different Wout. Several years ago, died in the Giro, I think. Hit a wall.
Right.
A Belgian that was a friend of Tyler Farrar.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It's a dangerous
These
sport.
Are the kind of things. Yeah, they are. These are the kind of things when these stories come up, I usually don't tell my wife. Not that we're doing the same thing. Although she just sent me a text, and it's this picture of this guy at a security camera, and he's riding in the bike lane, head down, and there's a bus. And he just he ran into the back of it. But she'll send me those kind of things. Right. But hey,
I've done that before.
Oh,
much slower speed on a really hot day going up a hill, just in misery, and went into the back of a car at like 5 miles an hour.
I've done those kind of things. I think it was at the Cascades Classic a few years ago, Cycling Classic. We're in the feed zone, and I'm trying to get bottles, and you know, guys were in there, and I smashed into someone handing out bottles. Then what I did was I just got off my bike and I took bottles out of their thing and just filled up my bags. And
yeah.
Went. Okay.
It works.
Yes, it does. How about some things that make you go, hmm? Things that
make you go, hmm. Yeah, so Wout van Aert is having a tough go. Back in the... What race did he have? Tour de France, he had a oopsie on the TT?
Yeah, oopsie. What are you, like 80?
Thereabouts. He's still down and out. I guess he had surgery done while he was in France, and it was really poorly done. Went back to his home hospital, and they kind of repaired it as best they could, but it looks like he's still on crutches today.
Did he use a medical doctor?
I don't know. I think the maybe roadside doctor.
He didn't use Chris Froome's doctor.
Clearly not. So it looks like he's probably not even going to be able to race cross this year. Which is kind of devastating, I'm sure, for him, because he's obviously a multi-time world champion on the cross bike. So,
right.
And hopeful that he has a full recovery, because he had a stellar road year this past year. So,
well, and then when he's what's so interesting is, remember earlier in the season, you had, well, he and Matthew Vanderpoel, obviously, right. They do cyclocross, and they come out, and Wout van Aert's kind of the guy, and all of a sudden he goes and do some races, and Matthew Vanderpoel comes flying through for Amstel Gold. Was it Amstel? It was one of those, right? And he's like the big thing, and then all of a sudden Wout does the Dauphiné. He's like the thing, and then the Tour, he's like this amazing thing, gets knocked out. And what happens? Vanderpoel comes through and wins some sprints out there, and was it Arctic or Brinkbank or
Arctic,
yeah.
Norway, yeah.
Yeah, and then was it Cockhold?
Cacard
beats him in a sprint. I saw a good tweet. Someone's like, he'll be using this result for like the rest of his life. You know, right. Like, hey, look, I beat Vanderpoel in a sprint. So,
but yeah, hopefully he can get his injury cleared up to the point where he can return to racing well.
You know, he's so young, isn't he? I want to say that
24.
Okay, yeah. I mean, he just needs to like mellow out and like not try to push it and just come back and take your time so that you don't just screw your whole career up forever. Speaking of which, I saw a tweet by someone asked, it was on Instagram or I think, and it was to Taylor Finney. Hey, before your injury, you were, you know, gung ho, you're going to take down the world. And now you kind of,
right.
What's up with that? And he's like, hey, you know, before I was real focused on this, but now, you know, life's just about other things. And I was like, okay, that's nice. But what about a rider that maybe can do just as good as you, but you're Taylor Finney, so you could keep getting a contract, and he would like to have a chance to race, and you just keep painting and smoking blunts and enjoying life.
I mean,
I guess that's what it is. But does he do much? Does he add any value to that team?
He's a recognizable face, and maybe the sponsors like that. I mean, I haven't seen him race much this year. He was supposed to do Leadville, and he didn't do that because Education First is doing kind of the alternative racing schedules. He was supposed to have done Leadville. He didn't. So I don't know.
We don't know. So my thing that makes you go is Remco Evenepoel, with just a young theme here, wins Classica San Sebastian, wins a European Championship individual time trial. He's like 19 years old. This is
solid.
Yeah. And last year's world champion, U20, was it U23 or was it 18-19 junior?
Must have been 18-19.
Yeah, dude. He's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool. I'm you know, if he wouldn't did ride for DeQuina Quickstep, I'd be real excited about it.
You can still be excited about it.
I don't think so.
Okay.
How about Tour of Utah and some of these other races, and then we'll get out of here. Did you watch any of the Tour of Utah and any revelations coming from there?
Bits and pieces. Tough race. A lot of elevation, a lot of climbing. I think the rider that was kind of an unknown but should have been known and was known was James Spicoli for KHS.
Spicoli,
yeah. He did really well. I think he finished second overall, and I think he had some weird issues early on. I think it was stage two. He was in the leader's jersey, got a flat with like 5 or 7K to go, was getting paced back to the group by his team. His team's not the strongest. I mean, I don't even think they're Conti level, are they?
Yeah, I don't think so.
So they burned up the team, and I guess he was in the caravan through the start finish. And the judges decided he was following the cars too closely or on the car's wheels for too long. Hit him with a 20-second penalty. And, I mean, that's a big blow for a guy like that to have to deal with. So kind of a bummer there. He ended up, I think, losing to the eventual winner, Ben Hermans, by 40 seconds. So in the end, it didn't matter. But
right. And watching that, it was Ben Hermans, Israel Cycling Academy, ends up winning. And Ben took time out of him every chance he could.
Right.
And bits and pieces to the point where you're like, you know, if this was all said and done equal, it's would have come out similar. But I'll tell you what, Coley reminded me, and I mentioned this to you and Kurt a few years ago when Mike Woods kind of emerged with Rally at Tour of Utah. And you're like, hey, this guy is climbing with, you know, and I think then it was an even more studded field. But Coley was impressive. I didn't know he was this kind of climber.
Yeah.
And he was. I don't know that he rode super smart though, because there were times where he was trying to get rid of Hermans and he was just sitting on the front, just grinding away, kind of doing a lot of work. And it makes you wonder if you add all those up and you just wait till the last day, if you can, you know, unload it then when it's more significant, maybe that makes a bigger deal. But and then Joe Dombrowski. So EF Education first, you know, they come to this thing and I'm like, if you don't get a stage win, that's kind of, yeah, exactly.
Especially that team. Yeah. Right. There's what? Two World Tour teams there.
Right. It's Trek Segafredo and them, and then, you know, Israel and who knows what. Oh, Dan Martin, did we mention he's going to Israel Cycling Academy?
We did not.
So Israel Cycling Academy. I don't know what their plans are, but, you know, it looks like they're trying to maybe make a World Tour leap. So they're a solid team, and Ben Hermans has ridden for BMC, I think, a few years ago, and, you know, is no slouch. But EF Education first, finally gets a win with Alex Howes.
No.
Lachlan Morton.
Yes.
Sorry, my bad. Howes was in the climber jersey for a while.
Right.
And then they get the last day. Joe Dombrowski looked really good with that win. Yeah. And just to mention a few other little nuggets from there. Sam Boardman, who used to ride with Mark Pro, and we've talked to him out of Chico.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of hair he used to have. I don't think he's got quite that. But he was out there and in the break and had the climber's jersey for a day or so too.
Right.
As well.
Yeah. Other less exciting things to note on stage. Must have been stage four when they were doing the circuits in Salt Lake City. Hayden McCormick from whatever team he's on. He's from New Zealand. I forget which team he's actually racing for. I'm not sure. He posted up with a lap to go, unfortunately.
That's right.
A lot of convincing from the officials on the side of the road that, hey, man, you got to keep going because...
Well, and then the next day, he's up there with Lachlan
right.
and driving it, and they got rid of his teammate, and it comes down to a sprint, and he let Lachlan lead him in, and it was a bike throw. Almost got that back. Yeah. So
Team Bridgelane is who he's racing for. So bummer to, A, do the early post-up, and B, just miss out on the win by, you know, a bike tire width.
And C, in a fight with the officials about, no, I really did get it.
I did win. So bummer. I feel like that happens in these races when it comes to the circuits. Like I've seen it at Tour of California, seen it I think before at Tour of Utah, where guys
they had that Canadian race a few years ago that was a
was it Alberta or was yeah, it
yeah Tour of Alberta that I've seen guys do that there as well.
Yeah, I guess you're so just tunnel vision focused and you're not watching the lap counter right. And the fans are probably incredibly loud with ringing bells and everything, so you lose track. Bummer, but so got his name out there.
Right, so Tour of Utah, I mean, this it looks like to me, you see that, you know, we've had this Rob Britton won it a few years ago. It's Sepp Kuss won it last year, and he destroyed Ben Hermans by 2 minutes. I say destroyed.
Right.
And the announcers kept talking this year like, oh, you know, is Ben riding better? Was, you know, so, you know, and I'm like, I think Sepp was just a better, there was more, I think, sustained climbing last year too. They talked about shorter stages.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Sepp was just a different level.
Last year.
Yeah, but I, yes, but I just also feel that this race is just, it's, I want it to, it was expanding and it was really taking off and it's become a big race and it's kind of the big climbing race in the U.S. more than any of the others, but it's kind of waning on its world tour status, I think, so.
Yeah, I think the timing is difficult too because it's kind of right in transition between the Grand Tours and it's a haul for other Euro-based World Tour teams to get out here. So I could see it not being one where they're super excited to head out there.
Right. So there's some people heading out to the Vuelta now from this race. Lawson Craddock, Americans wise.
Mm-hmm.
Kiel Reinen, Peter Stetna.
Mm-hmm.
TJ Van Garden wasn't at Utah, but he's, I've heard him going.
Right.
You got Sepp Kuss and Nielsen Palace. As far as Americans going, I don't know of any others. Spicoli, is he?
I think House is going.
Who?
I think House is going.
Oh, okay.
I think I could be wrong on that, but
I didn't see him on that. But it could very well be.
It'd be good for him to be out there in the national championship jersey.
It would be, and I do like that. So all of you know, Vuelta is coming up, starting this weekend. That's another World Tour, Grand Tour, 3 week race. Vuelta a España, Tour Spain, exciting. Da 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 da.
You got to build into it a little bit. Right now, I'm kind of at saturation. So
I am too. So, any of these other ones you want to talk about? Women's Colorado Classic was today. Did you see that?
I did not.
So
I know
Chloe Dygert, Owen won. Oh, Logan Owen's the other one going out there.
Okay.
But Chloe Dygert won it today. Gotten took off with like 10K to go, and then held on. So good for her.
Like I think we talked a little bit about. The Arctic Race of Norway. We said Vanderpool won the first stage in a sprint. It was a dominant sprint, too. He opened it up from way out.
I heard him make some comment about these sprinters wait too long.
Right.
So he's.
I think it's just he needs to understand.
Is he thinking back to when he won that the classic this year where he started sprinting from like a K to go?
Maybe, yeah. It's like, well, there's different body types, and some guys can't sprint for a kilometer, so they need to wait.
Right.
Then he ends up losing to Kikkaard in stage two. Stage three was interesting because Warren Barguil didn't win the stage, but he got in the leader's jersey. I'm not sure what color they call it in that race. And he was super excited, went to the media, said, you know, I've turned the corner. My career is back. I'm feeling great, ready to go.
But he got beat by Odd Christian Eiking, right?
Yes. He ended up losing the stage. But he's in the yellow jersey. Lutsenko is 3 seconds behind him. And stage four, it's a four-stage stage race, is important because there's various time bonuses throughout the stage. And he ends up getting into kind of a final group with Lutsenko and Gasparato, I want to say. And Barguil lets Gasparato in between him and Lutsenko, and Gasparato is just on his end. He's dying. And in the finishing sprint, Lutsenko wins the finish, and it is significant enough of a gap that there's a time gap between him, Gasparato, and Barguil. Barguil loses the jersey and the overall by a second. And his response is to just go ape and start yelling to the media about Gasparato, how he's an idiot, how he shouldn't have been there, how he was flicking him through and he should have been sticking to Lutsenko's wheel. And it's like, it's kind of on you. If this is the guy who can beat you, you should be on his wheel. You shouldn't be letting Gasparato in between the two of you. And it just seems like that's been his approach to defeat, is to just
whine,
just lash out. It's a bummer.
And I know it's not quite the same because he didn't lose this, but Geraint Thomas during the Tour de France this year, there was a stage where there's a short pitch to the finish and he came over and there was a gap, and it was a significant gap because there was just, even though there was only 1 second that created between he and the rider in front of him, the lead of that group ended up being like 5 or 6 seconds, you know, so they actually gave it, you know, significant amount of time.
Right.
And he said at the time, he's like, look, I was just trying to drift back, and then I thought people would fill in behind me, and it didn't happen, and totally on me.
Yeah.
Warren Barguil can take some of that.
and you would
said,
think.
And
yeah.
said, oh, just I'll come around this guy because I don't want to make sure. I want to make sure I don't lose this jersey.
Right. He's since kind of like
I know
taken a week.
You're in the moment, yeah. but even in the moment, I think you bring out the true character of some of these people.
Absolutely, yeah. So he's got probably heard from his team like, hey, you probably shouldn't be doing this. And he's come out and said, oh, I reached out to Gasparotto personally and apologized for me blaming him for me sucking at bike racing.
So there's two things. One, Gasparotto maybe was just gassed.
Right.
And two, maybe he's doing that for his teammate.
Are they teammates? They're not teammates.
Well, then maybe he was doing it for his teammate, but his teammate,
teammate was further back.
Lutsenko and Gasparotto, they're not both on Astana?
Gasparotto's on Dimension Data.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, he used to be. Someone yeah. else just signed for Dimension Data.
Kampenaerts.
Yeah. And people are like, but I
better
think that's
bike.
Such a bad idea. Yeah.
So.
Right. Any other tour racing things that you had before we winners and losers?
Tour of Denmark is underway. T-Spinut won yesterday. Today was a time trial, and Martin Toft Madsen won. So he is Danish, and he just set the Danish hour record, I want to say last week. So he's obviously in good form because he's always going up against Mikael Berg, who just left Action for UAE. Those two are Danish world hour record, yeah. Danish hour record setters. So very cool.
Yeah, good. Winners and losers. Got any for us?
Winners. Can I do a bulk winner and just say the NCNCA's performance at the Masters National Championship?
Of course you can.
Beautiful. I'm going with that. I mean, it was a lot of wins, a lot of podiums. Very well done for most guys coming from effectively sea level, going right. up and racing at 6 to however many thousand feet.
Right.
That's solid stuff.
Yeah, no, it's very impressive. And it's cool to see, you know, we know those guys. And it's awesome. And well-deserving. I mean, you could have predicted some of these. I mean, Ariel Hermann, as an example, I don't know if I would have predicted him, but I'm not surprised.
Right.
Baker, I think we said. Baker.
Yeah.
You know, and Dan Martin. Yeah. Larry Nolan. I mean, you could pretty much almost every year throw a ball. It's all good pick. Good pick. You have a loser?
Just ranted on Barguil, but I'll stick on him. It's like, come on, man. You left your prior World Tour team to go to this team that's being built around you, and you just kind of... come on.
What are they going to do with Nairo Quintana now this year?
Didn't he bring somebody else with him too?
Well, his brother, I think.
His brother?
Dyer.
Is he pretty good? Oh, they winner Anaconda?
A winner Anaconda. And then they haven't any more sprint. It seems like someone else was going there too. Well, winner Anaconda, I think it's who's solid.
Yeah. Oh, no, he went somewhere else. I was going to say, didn't Elia Viviani go there? But he went to Cofidis, whatever.
Same name.
So they're going to do the three racers approach again. That seems to work for everybody. Oh, speaking of three racers approach, totally sidetracking this here. Movistar for the Vuelta was going to do Carapaz.
Valverde.
And who was their third piece of the trident?
Was it Quintana? Is he going there?
Maybe it's Quintana. Either way, they lost Carapaz. He got injured in a training crash on Sunday, messed up his shoulder, so he's out of the race. So bummer for him because he obviously can do well in Grand Tours.
Right.
So he won't be there.
Yeah, that's too bad because they were going to be my loser for their three-prong attack.
But yeah,
my winner, though, is some of the U.S. cyclists. I know Chloe Dygert, actually a bunch of them, Pan American Games on the track. I don't know how great that competition is, but Daniel Holloway, Northern California guy, right, isn't he?
Yeah.
Or California, at least.
He bounces around.
Right. He won. I don't remember which event, but he won a gold medal. Chloe Dygert won a gold medal. I think her team also won one for something. But I think they were the most decorated team at the Pan American Games. So solid work for them.
And I think that's important because you've got to accrue points to get certain number of team members in the Olympics.
Right. I think you're right. Losers, I don't really have much for right now. Oh, you know, some of the announcers on the Tour of Utah.
Ugh. That's tough. That is tough.
Frankie, damn, that was
he's
really...
he's got a sheet of racers in front of him when he's doing this, right? Like he can look
at
the number and the name.
Not racers that are in that race though.
Okay.
Cuz that
it was just constantly, this guy in blue, here comes this other guy. Uh-oh, a racer's bridging across.
It's like,
come on.
It was you know, it was maybe worse though. You can hear in the background Dave Toll screaming
right.
as the like cuz he's doing like live announcing at the race. Although I must say, I saw the Tour of the Colorado Classic today, and the girl that was interviewing cyclists at the finish, she was more interested in talking to them. It'd be like me doing it. She's more interested in talking to them than getting their input. She talked for about 2-3 minutes, asked them a question, kind of interrupted to talk some more, asked them another question. She was really into it. We'll see how that proceeds. But all right. Well, that's all I have. Please, yes, give us some more.
Who's your pick for the Vuelta?
Oh, well, you know, we'll have to do some Vuelta, but...
We will, but...
I want to say Roglic.
Okay.
Because I think there's been enough time. It's kind of lapsed there. Or TJ. This is...
Come on.
No. I'm kidding. It's not his chance. But maybe this year it is.
Maybe. Is his hand... Didn't he break his hand or something? I don't know.
Who cares?
I'm rooting for Chavez. I like to see him have a good return to racing.
Who?
Oh, Esteban Chavez.
I would also be interested in seeing, I don't know if Sosa, is that one of the guys that's for Ineos?
Sure.
He had done really well. Maybe even that Martinez that for EF. I need to look at an actual roster. I feel like I'm Frankie here. I'm just going to pull a name out. You know that Froome guy? He races well.
Is Pogačar racing?
Well, I don't know. See, those are things that would
be interesting. We got some things to look at.
Right. So maybe we can talk about that. It starts this weekend.
We'll talk about it tomorrow.
What's tomorrow? Oh, Friday?
Friday.
No, I can do that. All right. Okay. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Yep. Another episode of the Between Two Wheels podcast. Share the show. Find it. Download it. Give us some help. Check us out on our YouTube channel, Between Two Wheels podcast, and our Facebook page. And as always, thank you for listening. And for Chris Flower, Kurt Mills, I'm Tyler Bianchi. Thanks again.
See you.